Father, I just pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would just continue to open up the word. Father, I pray right now that you would just let my words be yours and yours be mine. We ask, Holy Spirit, for you just to come and for you just to have your way. Lord, I pray that that what we have today, that Lord, that there would be a revelation, a spirit of revelation just be poured out right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to be talking about overcoming evil with good. And I am going to go into some of my personal testimony. I'm going to share some things. Actually, I've really wrestled with this for like, ever since Nancy gave me this, and I got the email from Debbie, and I've really wrestled with it because I personally haven't shared my my testimony with too many people. I share it with like some of the leaders, or the leader group, leadership group that we have in Waterford, and it's been something that was pretty close to me, precious to me. But you know, the Bible says, "Don't cast your pearls before swine." And so, as I was praying about today and everything, the good news is we're not swine. So, amen. We're good. Amen. That's okay. No problem. All right. Well, go ahead and go with me to Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read some scriptures, and then after that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and just go through my personal testimony and just share some things. Like I said, I've only shared this one other time, so bear with me. And every time you share your personal testimony on stuff, there's always a reason why God wants us to do it. So we're just going to trust Him on this. Revelation chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil. Do not be overcome with evil by evil, but overcome evil with good." And, you know, in understanding this, when I looked up overcome, it literally means to be overtaken, to be overwhelmed, or to begin to be in a place of despair, not being able to carry the load. And so when we look about overcoming, the Bible talks about in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. And what we see is that in the world today, there's a lot of things going on where the love of many is growing very cold. There's a lot of offenses going on. In Luke chapter 17, I believe it's verses 1 and 2, it talks about how that offenses are going to come. We understand that in all of creation, Jesus said that there would be offenses that would come to our time, and that we needed to be able to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the greatest keys that we have for overcoming evil. And let me go ahead and go through the rest of these scriptures, and then I want to go ahead and go on and just share. Go with me to Proverbs 20. Let's look there for just a second. Nancy's right. I'm a word guy. I like to give the word just because it gives us something to go off of and lets us know where we're at. Proverbs 20, and let's look at Proverbs 25, my bad. Proverbs 25, there we are. Verse 21 says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink." And so Proverbs 25:21, when it talks about this, there's a lot of things that happen. And I'm just going to go ahead and give my testimony. And what I want to do is I just want to, I'm going to leave the names out. You know, it doesn't really matter what their names are. It only matters that Jesus is glorified. When I got born again, I went to a church and was very, very excited for what God was doing, and had just my lifestyle I came out of. I had multiple children from different moms, had a real promiscuous lifestyle. Had an anger problem. Was asked twice to go and commit murder, and both times I was on my way. And God stopped me each time, and couldn't figure out why He got stopped, because I really was like, I just had this huge anger issue that I was going to go with. And God stopped, and things began to change in my life, things began to shift, and I got born again. And when I got born again, I got saved, and I went to this church, and the pastor, as soon as I got born again, the pastor tells me, "Well, you're better off now to go out and run in front of a Big Mac semi." I'm like, this is great news. then I get a letter from another lady, and she tells me, she's like, it's wonderful that you got saved. You'll never, ever have another problem in your life as long as you live. Jesus is always there, and they were both just completely wrong. And I went through things, and finally I tried to start Genesis 1 to read the Bible, and that's where I got was Genesis 1. And so I shut that up, and I went to Athens, and I came over to Athens and started going to a church there, and was really impacted by the Lord, and was where I met God. And it was there is where I began to encounter God. I began to fall in love with him, and just, I remember I moved in with an elder, and I lived with him for 6 months, and while I was there, the elder was engaged, and Uta, you remember this, and he was engaged, and so he would spend time with his fiance, and obviously, so they're getting ready for their wedding. I spent time with myself at the apartment. So I had a lot of time to read and pray. And there was a lot of things that went on, and I began to really just hunger for God. And as things were going on, the church was really seeing a lot of growth. There was a lot of movement, just a real move of God moving in the land. And it was so exciting for me, being a new Christian. It was just tremendously exciting. And the whole, you know, the newness of who God is, the newness of what kind of God that he is, that he's forgiving, that he's redeeming, it was just, it just kept enticing me for more. And the more and more I began to search out the things of God, I began to just encounter him more. And there was a lot of things going on at the time with the pastor, and there was some sin that was involved, and there was just a lot of strife that had gone on. And in the midst of all this, my little brother, begins to get sick. He ends up in the hospital, and they take him to Duke University. He had double hip surgery, and you know, he was really, really bad off. And my dad, at the same time, had quadruple bypass. And I grew up on a Angus beef farm, and so I had to move back to help out on the farm. And I never, ever thought I'd ever say that, but that's what happened. But in the process of me moving back, there was a literal change that began to take place in the church, and I began to feel the shift, and I began to feel the difference of what was going on. And during that time, there was things that happened, and the pastor at that time was very trying to take care of things. He had issues himself going on, but somehow in the midst of all that, I'm sure I didn't do everything right. Somehow in the midst of all that, I kind of became a bad guy between him and the associate pastor. And it really, really bothered me. And I was praying one night, and I was really, really praying because all these accusations started getting thrown at me. And I'm thinking, all I want is Jesus. That's all I want. I don't need anything else. Don't need titles. Just give me Jesus. And one night, I'm praying, and at this time I lived in a trailer in Amesville, and you know, I was so young in the Lord, I just kind of, you know, I'd light a candle and put some mood music on and try to, you know, invoke Holy Spirit and all that stuff. And one night I come out, and I've been seeking the Lord, and I've been fasting, and I come out of the bathroom, and walking down the hall, walk to my living room, and there, sitting on the couch, was Jesus, and he was manifested in the flesh to me, and it took me back. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I just was like this. I kept blinking my eyes, and he. I felt at peace, and I felt an awe of who he is, and I sat down, and he just began to talk to me. And it was so much different than what we think Jesus is like. And he was very relatable, and he just talked, and he had such love and compassion. And then the thought hit me. I know it's Holy Spirit, but then the thought hit me, and I said, you know, now I'm just being real honest with you. I came out of the shower. I was living by myself. I had a towel on. And I'm sitting down. I'm talking to Jesus one-on-one. And the thought hit me, and I said, can I wash your feet? And he said, yeah. And I went and I got a bowl, and I began to knelt down, and I poured water on his feet, and the water went through the holes and at his feet. And I just I said, God, I'll do anything for you. I'll do anything for you. I don't care what it is. I don't care where I have to go. Lord, I'll do it all. I said, I just want to be with you. That's all I really want. And I'm kneeling down, and he puts his hand on my head, and he begins to speak some things to me, and it really put things in perspective for me, because everything that happened from there on, it came back to the fact of nothing is worth my relationship with Jesus. No matter what happens, it's not worth my relationship with Jesus. And so things happened at the church, I went on and I moved home, and I began to help out on the farm, and I got involved with another church that was there, and I knew the word. I can't say I was experienced with the word, but I knew the word, and I was put in as associate pastor. And one day I'm in church, and the praise and worship leader is up on the platform. And the praise and worship leader's wife walks in with her boyfriend. And I go to the pastor and I said, we need to change, we need to do something here. This should not happen. And nothing against the pastor, nothing against anybody here. I mean, forgiveness is the key. And I talked to the pastor about it. I said, she's walking in with her boyfriend. We need to do something about this. And He said, we need to give them grace to grow. And it just, something set off inside of me. And up to that point, things had gone pretty well. And something lit inside of me, and I said, this isn't right. And I love the man, but I just, right is right and wrong is wrong. And this isn't right. And there was some things that happened, and some people started to try to put me in the middle again and saying, well, you ought to pastor this church. We really want you to pastor this church. And I didn't want to be in the middle of another church split. I didn't want to be in the middle of anything else like that. And so I just decided at that point in time that, it was best that I leave. And so I left. And all this, while this is going on, I'm literally looking at everything, and I'm thinking, my gosh, is there anybody who will honor God? And I'm looking back at my encounter that I had with Jesus, and I'm thinking, if they just could get that would mean so much more. This would bring an understanding to people. And I end up going to another church, and I leave that church, go to another church, and I'm thinking, finally, we're at a place where things are going to go good. There's good government, and I didn't realize that the pastor there had a major anger issue. And I went on a missions trip with them, and I came back from the missions trip. And on our way back, I'd just been married for 3 months, and I wanted to get home and see my wife. My wife, Becky, she got pregnant on our honeymoon, so we were expecting. And so I'm kind of like, I want to get home to my wife and see how she's doing. I've been gone for 15 or 17 days, something like that, and I wanted to get home to my wife. And so me and two other guys, we rented a car to drive home from Pittsburgh. And we land back in Haiti, we're in Pittsburgh, and the pastor gets really, really upset, and he starts cussing us out. And what he had to say was really, really not nice. And I'm thinking, here I am as, a congregant, and this guy's cussing me out. I mean, we got something amiss here. And the message was on grace. He preached really tough on grace and really big on grace and mercy. And I'm like, whew, we got something going on. And from there, I went on, and I told my wife Becky, I said I just don't really want to go anywhere right now. I said I think we're done. Actually, she went back one time, and he ended up cussing her out in the process, and we was done. And so we left the church, and I just sat there and I thought, Lord, I just don't want anything else. And I would go and I would preach at times, and we would do all kinds of different things, and our whole goal was just to be after Jesus. And when all this stuff happened, the big thing was that we really found ourselves struggling, finding a place to belong. And we just knew, though, we had a lot of opportunities to be bitter. And the Lord began to speak to me about things, and I was talking with him one day, and I'm like, Lord, everything that's happened here has not been right. I mean, I went through a whole list of things that happened. You know, I was working at a place where there were several pastors that owned the business and managed the business, and when they found out Becky and my wife and I were dating, and it wasn't against policies or anything like that, they fired me, because in their prophetic mind, they thought that she was not right for me. And so they fired me, and then they fired her. And I was just done with the body of Christ. I was just like, this is enough. I'm done. I'm going to Africa. That's really where I was going. I was going to Africa, and I thought, over there, they have church. Let's go over there. And Becky, she was like, I'll go wherever you lead. And we was going to go there. And I'm praying one night. I get out of the car, and I look up, and it's night. The sky is as clear as can be. The moon's out. And I said, Lord, this just isn't fair. It just isn't right. And Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clearly, and he said, everything will be made right in heaven. And it was at that point in time I began to realize all the things, everything that tries to overcome us with evil is a distraction to keep us from our destiny. Anything that tries to keep us from our destiny, its whole design is to keep you out of your inheritance. So what I began to find as I went through this, if you go back to Romans chapter 12, I began to find more and more about everything that happened. You know, the distractions were an opportunity for me to either give in to sin or for me to walk with God and trust him through it. So here's what happened. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. And so here's the thing about it is, we look at this, and we look at presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. When you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, you don't know the process by which you're going to go through, the cost or the heat of the fire that you're going to be burnt with. But we use this for holiness, and we use the scripture about saying for sexual sin and getting rid of pride and all these things. But there's also the process of the sacrifice. And the process of the sacrifice is just that. It is that process, that fire by which the sacrifice is consumed. And when that fire goes through, there is a reality of the kingdom of God that's birthed in us when we go through that process. And we've all had different processes. We've all had different things, different tragedies, different things happen to us in our lives. And, you know, I looked at these men as spiritual fathers. And each time it was like I wasn't good enough. Each time it was like there was something wrong with me. Each time it was like, you can't be here because I'm threatened by you. And my goal was not to threaten anybody. My goal was, let's just get Jesus. And after I encountered Jesus, I don't really care for politics and I don't care for religion. And I've met some of the big names, and I'm kind of like, wow. I can't tell you how unimpressed I really am. You know, I could really care less what title you have, what bishop you are. In the end, I'm just like, these guys, they don't really mean too much to me. Paul wrote about how those who say to be something end up being nothing to him. That's kind of how I felt. In verse 2 it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so I went through this process, and I was offended with the body of Christ. I was offended with the leadership, because I thought either they're jellybacks, control freaks, or they're immoral. That was the three things I put the body of Christ in. And I'm like, I'm done with it. And I really just want Jesus. So I'll go to Africa, because when I go to Africa, I know that there'll have to be something that's real. Actually, I watch Reinhard Bonnke and all his videos, and I'm thinking, that would be awesome to see, just to be a part of it. I'll set up the stage. That's what I'll do. I'll go, I'll set up the stage. And I'll never forget, I had been reading about T.L. Osborne, and some people talked to me, and they said, do you know that T.L. Osborne's going to be in Jackson, Ohio? And the Lord has spoke to me that I'm going to set you in front of T.L. Osborne. And I'm thinking, I must mean I'm going to be on T.L. Osborne's ministry team. How cool is that, right? And T.L. Osborne was in Jackson, Ohio, and at the Rock Church in Jackson. And I went over there and heard him, and I met Brian Adams over there. And Brian Adams is, you know, when I met him, he has changed so much in the 9 years I've known him. But when I first met him, he was rough. He would offend you just for fun. wouldn't he? And so I got mad at him one time, and I was offended with him. And this was my lesson in this, because he kept talking about, you know, you're going to do something or not. You just kept pressuring me. You're going to do something or not. And I'm like, dude, I'm done with you. pastor after pastor here. You're the next one. I'm done. We're just going to stop this. So I went for 6 months, and I didn't talk to him. And he would call, and I wouldn't answer his call. I would just scream. And he would call every day. He called every day for 6 months. No lie. Every day for 6 months. And finally, after about the end of it, my wife Becky, she's like, if you don't take that call, I will take the call, and I'll tell him you're afraid to talk to him. And I was like, I'll take the call. And so I took the call, and he's like, well, you finally answered. So instantly, there was that offense right there that I could go with. And he starts crying, and he's like, I know I'm rough, and I have the tack of a mule. And he said, but here's the thing. He said, I just want to win souls. And what I heard through that was, I just want Jesus. And it began to connect with me. And so, and when that night I met him with T.L. Osborne, Lord has spoken to my spirit, and he said, there's going to be a man in there with the same shirt on as you have. And I'm going to connect you guys. And he said, it will be a divine connection that will last for your life. And I walked in, and there he is. He's got the same stinking black shirt on I do. I'm like, you know, I didn't know him. Now, after 6 months, I'm kind of like, if you could have had any other person with the same shirt, you know. But it was him. And so we connected. And he came down, and we began to see different healings and miracles. And I just began to really press in for what God had. And the offenses were always there. And there were people who would come along and say things about different times and talk about the different things that went on, about my past and about what happened in these churches. And here's the thing is, I would pray about this, and I would read Romans 12. It really would get to me, because Romans 12, 1, could it really get to me. And the Lord would begin to speak to me, and he has said, a sacrifice doesn't care. And then he began to say, if you can't love the bride, you can't minister to the bride. And the Lord really began to reveal this to me more and more. And if I didn't love the bride, I was no way I was going to minister to it, because I would automatically have offense toward it. And I said, well, Lord, I love the bride. I said, I really do. It's just some of the people in it. And he said, and he just would deal with me on things. And the more and more that I would continue to seek him, the more and more he would order my steps. And see, here's the thing, is that if we continue to walk in forgiveness, the power of forgiveness releases us into destiny. And that power of forgiveness released me into destiny, to where one night Pastor Brian calls me up and he says, there's a church in Waterford, Ohio. Do you know where that's at? I'm like, yeah, I used to grow up right beside it. I said, there's in Twin Cities, Beverly and Waterford. I said, I grew up in Beverly. And he said, well, we're taking over the church. And he said, why don't you go down and see if you can help them out with evangelism? He said, they're down to like 20 people. He said, it'd be good for you to just go and help them out. And so I went ahead, and I went down, and I get to meet the pastor, and I literally felt like, this is like every other pastor here so far. And I'm kind of frustrated. And I'm like, man. But I knew I needed to submit to what God had, because I felt when I did this, that the whole Brian having the same shirt on I did, the you know, seeing the signs, wonders, and miracles. He had trained me. We had a healing room. We began to our first night with the healing room after spending some time with him. We saw a woman healed of Bell's palsy. We saw a guy healed of stage 4 cancer. There were so many things we saw healed. Miracles happened, and we were really excited about it. I'm like, this is probably a process I need to go through. And so I went through this process. And I was there for about 3 months. And the pastor said, I want to meet you. He called me up one night at 11 o'clock, and he said, I want to meet you at the church. I said, it'll be 11:30 before I'm there. It took me half an hour to get to the church. And he said, he said, that's all right. I'll just wait for you. And so I met him at 11:30 at night, and he said, I'm done with the church. He said, I'll give you 3 days to decide if you want it. He said, if you want it, you can have it. If you don't, I'm going to shut the doors and sell the building. And I said, okay. So I went home. I told Becky about this, and I began to pray. And as I'm praying, I felt the Lord speak to my spirit. I said, Lord, do you want me to take this church? And remember, in my mind, I'm still going to Africa, right? Because the offense had led me to believe I needed to go somewhere else. And offenses drive us away from our true destiny. That's the thing. Offenses drive us away from where God's really called us to. And so I literally hear God say, yes. I'm like, you want me to take this church? Yes. And I'm thinking, there's no way. And I talked to Becky, and I said, honey, I need you to pray. I said, I must be missing God, or either that or the devil speaking to me. I said, I need you to see what you hear. And she prays, and she's like, Dean, I really think we're supposed to take this church. She said, I really think it's God. And so I'm like, well, I knew at that point in time I wasn't hearing from the enemy. I was hearing from God, and because I knew it wasn't my soul. And I finally was like, okay. So I went back, I told him yes, and we took over the church, and we started off with 20, and in that first Sunday, we had 8 leave, and it was major church growth, and so we had 12, and all through this, there was times to be offended, and I walked in the first Sunday, in that church, before I took it over, they wore like the suits, three-piece suits. They were very, they came underneath a Rod Parsley, they came underneath his church. And so in Waterford, Waterford's similar to MacArthur in the fact of it's a very rural country, a town. I mean, they farm. I grew up on a farm. That's what we did. We farmed. That's just life. Eric grew up in that area. And so what we did on our first Sunday is I came in a pair of jeans and a button-down shirt, and we had people leave. And so we went on from there. And the thing that has happened has been God has continued to bless us, and we've been able to remodel the gym, turned it into a sanctuary, and so it's now a 400-seat sanctuary. We're able to see God move there, and recently open up the balcony to be able to see, the seating capacity. So it's been really, really exciting, but the thing about it is that had I not been able to forgive, I would have walked right out of my destiny. Because Romans 12 talks about, in Romans 12, 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you overcome evil with good, it's literally out of your mind and into the mind of Christ. And I did not want to hold any unforgiveness towards any of the people. I just simply wanted to honor God in everything. And my encounter with Jesus, one of the things is he laid his hand on my head. One of the things he began to speak to me. And it was the craziest thing because he said, you'll have opportunity to walk away from what I tell you. And he said, you'll have opportunity to give up and throw in the towel. He said, but if you hold to what you know is true, I'll guide you through the rest. And that's what I did, was I held to what I knew was true. And even in the midst of, and this happened in the midst of everything from Athens to Beverly to Parkersburg. And through it all, that's what I began to see, was that if I held to what I knew was true, the only true thing I knew was Jesus. So that's what I've been searching for, is give me something real. Give me something, give me Jesus. Don't give me religion. Don't give me politics and religion. Don't give me any of that. I just want Jesus. I don't care about how big your church is. I don't care about how many banners you fly. I don't care about where you've been. Give me Jesus. And that's what I want. And so I began to really just press in. And the whole thing about it is this, is that the opportunity for offense, I did some research, and I thought this to be very interesting. The opportunity for offense, people in the Church of America, the number of people offended with the church in America is 43%. 43% of American church is offended by the church. So that tells me we got a problem. The number of people who have left churches, get this, 67% have left churches to go to another church due to offense. When these things begin to happen, we find ourselves knowing that there's something wrong. Now, I'm going to kind of say this, and as mature believers, you can understand where I'm coming from. But when we leave a place where God's called us to, out of offense, what we do at that point in time is we then go out of our design. Because our design is designated to our location. So if I'm out of my design, I'm going to be out of my true purpose. because my purpose is wherever that local church is at. Because the greatest power in the earth today is the local church. It is really not the mega churches. They can't reach out here. They won't reach out here. But it is the local church is the greatest power on the earth. So when I come into that place where I'm in my design and in my purpose, my destiny is then fulfilled. But you've got to understand that. And the only way we truly understand that is understanding our identity. You had a great message of I am. Because what it is the fact that we can understand that He is everything to us. And no matter what He calls us to go through, if we hold on to the truth that we know, He will take care of the rest. He is the truth that we know. And that's the thing I can tell you is that, I mean, if it wouldn't have been for my encounter with Jesus and having seen Him and beholding Him and being able to wash His feet and just encounter Him, I don't know where I would be today. But I knew this. Even in every offense that happened with every leader, it was not worth my relationship with Jesus. And I did not look at the leaders as any less than. I just looked at it as, for some reason, the only thing I could tell you is it had to be Jesus. The only thing I knew was, I'm not going to touch this. I'm just going to move on. And that's what God has done, is He's been able to bring us through a time where you go through everything and you begin to say, well, what can I do? What can I, you know, there's got to be a place for me to belong. That's what Becky and I would say. We look for a place to belong. And what would happen is, you know, I remember praying and I said, Lord, I just would really like to have a place where we could belong. And when we took over the Rock in Waterford, you know, it became a place. It took time, but it became a place where we could belong. And it wasn't a place for superstars, and it wasn't a place for spiritual giants. It was a place for normal people, and that's the thing. And so that's what I look for, is I look for normal people. And if we're going to overcome evil with good, then one of the things you have to realize is we have to let go of our pride, and we don't have to be so egotistical. The thing about it is that nothing is worth my relationship with Jesus. Everything about that statement goes back to the fact that it's all for Him. So when I overcome evil with good, it's all for Him. I do it because I want to honor Him. I do it because I want to be a vessel of honor for Him. Because the Bible talks about the vessels of honor and the vessels of dishonor. My goal in life is to be a vessel of honor. So that what would happen is I would be pleasing to Him. There's been too many times where people have had their own agendas and had their own way of doing things. I just want His agenda. And if we can come into that place where we just want His agenda, it's very easy for us then to walk into the perfect will of God and not the acceptable will of God, because we're not trying to overcome evil with evil, but we're overcoming evil with good. And as I researched more and more, I looked through the Old Testament, and you see through the Old Testament time and time and time again where everybody who was called by God to do something, which we all are called by God to do something for Him, and every part matters over the body. But every time they did something for God, there was always an opportunity for offense. There was always an opportunity for them to discredit themselves. There was always an opportunity for them to get offended and say, I'm not going to do it. David had Saul that would continually come at him. I mean, the guy was always throwing spears at David. And so what happened was David had to overcome that. How did he do it? He continually honored that person, even though he was not treating him right. He honored him in that place of authority. And that's the thing that I really began to come into and see, is that there were times where things would go on and I would look at things that I'd never to discredit any of the pastors there, but it was just a time where I'm like, okay, you know, obviously God's put them in place and I'm just not going to mess with this. I'm just moving on. And I would just simply move on, and I just would pray, Lord, let there be a place where we can belong. And as that would happen, as we would take over, you know, become pastors of the Rock Church in Waterford, the process hasn't stopped since we've taken over. You know, I'm a man under authority. The guy that is the apostle over the Rock organization, that's apostle over me, you know, he has certain ways he does things, and there have been times where I could get offended. And there would have been times where he's done things that I haven't understood why. But as I followed through with what God's, with the truth, and just trusted God and know I'm where I'm supposed to be, I've seen it time and time again. It always works out. I always understand why, or I begin to see more and more of what happens in the process of that. And so as that took place, we just continued to trust God. And We as we grew our church, we started out with 22 people, or I'm sorry, we have 20 people. We had eight leave. We had our 12. And as we've grown the church, we now are at a place where this past summer I had an angelic encounter, and the angel began to speak to me, and it was just like very like open, like I could see it, like I see you guys. And the angel spoke to me, and he said, if you would celebrate God, you'll have more done in one season than could be done in years. And so we began to have, we called it our summer of celebration, and we began to celebrate God. And here's the thing, our first day of celebration, we had some visitors from another church come in, and they were offended that we were celebrating God. And they talked to me afterwards, and they told me off. And, you know, and it was a religious spirit. And I just told them, I said, well, obviously we're not the church for you. Why don't you go ahead and go back to the church where you came from. You're probably better off there. No offense. But see, I had the opportunity because everything within me wanted to just tell them, you know, that's not true. Lord, look at our sanctuary compared to you. But that's not the will of God. And so it was just a matter of, we're just not going to be your church. We're not going to be your flavor. And that's okay. And so they went on. And we went through that summer. And we grew exponentially in growth. And I'm not about numbers, but I'm just telling you this because the team, our praise and worship team, went from 12 people to 22 people, and now to 32 people. The church, the balcony, with everything in the church, it seats 400. We filled up the balcony. We're running about 250 now. And again, it's not about numbers, but I'm telling you, we honored God. And I didn't get overcome by evil when the people came in and told us how offended they were that we were celebrating God. So we run around 250, and we've known for years now, probably about the past 3 years, we knew that we would plant a church in Athens. And we was going to go, we knew Athens and Zanesville were our two first places that we would go plant a church. We actually had Zanesville and Athens. And we was going to give it 3 more years, and we was going to actually go to Zanesville. And it was in my mind. Again, not the mind of God, but just kind of like in my mind, I'm like, that makes good logical sense right there. And throughout the summer, things kept getting increasing and increasing. And Becky and I, we live 30 minutes from Athens and a little town called Stockport. And we were always shopping in Athens. We go to Athens, we go to Ruby Tuesdays in Athens. And, you know, anytime we go out on a date night, you can't have a date night and not go to Walmart. That's just, you know, I mean, that's quality time, you know. So any date night, we'd be at Walmart. You know, we'd stop at Ruby Tuesdays or we would go to the Court Street Diner. We would, you know, do different things like that. And as we did that, I told Becky one night, I said, man, it's crazy how we're always over here. I said, you know, it'd be just hilarious if God put us over here next instead of Zanesville. What happened was I went and I met with the pastor of what used to be Abundant Life, or it still is Abundant Life. I met with him for lunch one day, and he began to talk to me. And he had talked to Dave Chisholm, who's the apostle that I'm over, or that's over me. And he says, you know, he's retiring. He said he just wants to be able to put it in a place where the church will grow. And Pastor Dave calls me up, and he says, you know, I'm really not able to do anymore. He said, I have a church in Columbus. I have this one in Parkersburg. We have the church in Brazil, and I'm going to be starting one in Florida. He said, I can't do anymore. And he said, do you know that church? I said, yeah, it's where I met God at. And he said, do you want it? And I said, absolutely. And the reason I tell you this, and some of you know this, but for me, this has been the full circle, because if I would have given into offense right at the first, I don't think I'd be back. I really don't. It's one of those things where you have to trust God in all things. And you have to realize that if the enemy runs us out because of offenses, we're out of our design. And if we're out of our design, we're out of our purpose. And I didn't get run out of Athens. I left because I just didn't want to be in the middle of a fight. And so as I left, what happened was the Lord spoke to me in the midst of that. And when I was kneeling before the Lord that night, and one of the things he spoke to me was, he said, I'll bring you back. And that's all he said, I'll bring you back. I never understood really what that meant till here recently. But he spoke to me and he said, I'll bring you back. And it was, you know, it's so easy for us to get offended. But when we realize it's all about Jesus, you know, all the offenses fall. And so I want to encourage you. I know we're mature believers in here, so let me just talk straight with you. As a pastor, one of the greatest things you can do is continually point people to Jesus. That is the greatest thing we can do, because when we put people on pedestals, they get dizzy and they fall down. They are just as normal as you and I. And the thing about it is we're all called of God. Every part has a major part to play in what we're doing. Every joint has to supply its part, because when that takes place, the body grows. So every joint supplying its part as you and I coming together as the body, we knit together in bonds of love, joined together by what God has designed us to. And no matter what location it's in, still the call of God is to establish the kingdom. It's not to build the mega ministry. And so as we establish the kingdom takes care of the rest of it. And so as we begin to find more and more of what God has called us to, the enemy tries to stop us through offenses. And Becky and I have talked for years about, I wonder why we are where we are. Because we would see people who we grew up with in the faith and different places, and we would say, you know, we see some of them aren't even walking with God now. And we really was kind of perplexed, and we said, well, what is it? What happened that we are where we are? Why are we here? There really is no reason. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's just one of those things where you're kind of like, I don't know why this is happening. And the biggest thing that, you know, as we've prayed about it has been, we haven't taken offense, and we've always sought to honor God in all things. And I truly believe, you know, the Revelation talks about the different churches. I believe we need to be the faithful and loving church. You have to be the faithful and loving church. And we have to be those who honor God in everything, you know. When we honor God in everything and what we do with our lives, he'll take care and make sure that he puts us where he needs to. And that's the thing about it, is that as we just know that where he's called us to, whatever it is, it's important. And that's the thing, is that the body has, in churches, there seems to be this hierarchy of importance. And it's not biblical, because the truth is that we all have a part to play in what God is doing. And if the church isn't edifying itself and isn't exhorting itself and isn't comforting itself, then what we're doing is we're playing church and we're playing with pride. And, you know, that night that I saw the Lord, that night that I, you know, that this happened, my visitation from Jesus happened, here's the biggest thing I got, was he was just as interested in me as I was in him. And that's the thing. He's just as interested in all of us as we are in him. And what's happened in the church is, at times when there begins to be a spiritual play about who's more spiritual than who, or who has power here, it becomes a thing of, well, I want to be accepted. We look at the church placement of the church as, this is my importance and to God, and that's not true. Our importance to God is because of his son. And so if we allow ourselves to really just dive into what Jesus has for us, we take away from all the junk that tries to keep us back. Because again, any offense that happens, everything is going to be made right in heaven. Everything is going to be made right in heaven. It's not worth our relationship with Jesus. It's just not worth it. Because there's been times where we could have stopped many times, but it's just, you know, I don't know how else to say it other than one night I had a dream that Jesus was walking through this garden, this orchard, and he's looking at this peach tree, and I don't know why peaches, but a peach tree, and he's looking and he's trying to find fruit on the tree, and there was a little bit of fruit on the tree, and I'm looking at that dream, and I'm there and I'm seeing the tree. And Jesus, the Lord just turns to me and he says, you're this tree. And it hit me, and it was, if the king comes demanding fruit, who are we not to give him fruit? And it was just that revelation of where we've got to be ready to give him fruit when he comes. And so our lives are to be honoring him. Our lives are to be living a life for him. And I look at these different places, you know, the love of many is growing cold. We see things going on in the world today. And there's been a lot of people say a lot of different things about the beheadings, the martyrs of Christians and different things like that. And I watch Christians get mad with the politics. And I watch them begin to get so mad that they step out of who they are in Christ and step into who they are as an American. Now, I'm pro-America. I love America. And I think we need to pray for our country. I think we need to let our voice be heard. I totally think we need to, you know, pray about who we are to elect. But in the end, the only person who is going to be able to help America is Jesus. And so we have to keep our focus fixed on the real author, the real finisher of our faith, the one who is the real hope for America. Anything less than that, we're going to be majorly disappointed. And we're going to be offended. And when we get offended, again, it will drive us out of our design. So as we keep going, the last thing I would say is this, is that in the midst of all of this, the Bible says that we are to treat our enemy kindly and not be vengeful. And here's the thing is that if we walk as God has called us to walk, then what's going to happen is no matter who offends us, if we realize it's not worth our relationship with Jesus, that's how we can love with the love of Christ. That's how we can keep going. And it will stop everything that what the world has tried to do or the enemy's tried to do to get us out of our design, get us out of our purpose. Because God has got more for us. Amen? Amen. Amen.